grinned at him.
You guys have your antenna back on track, he said.
Jamie mumbled an acknowledgement, then turned to the voice link with Connors. Everything's fine. We got Mars 2 on the screen.
Great,
said Connors, puffing.
I've got a right front wheel almost cleared.
Looking from Ioana's tired face to Klein's healthy, unclouded image on the little display screen, Jamie realized how sick the four of them must be. His skin's almost pink, Jamie thought. Dr. Lee came on the screen and began giving instructions about the news conference that would begin within the hour. He asked Jamie to bring Connors inside before the conference started. Jamie checked his wristwatch against the digital clock on the cockpit control panel, then asked Ioana to take over the comm link. Klein came back on, and Ioana chatted with him almost as if they were old friends discussing the weather. Jamie saw that Ioana had put on a fresh set of coveralls, coral pink, and had applied makeup to her face. She's trying to hide the pallor, he realized, trying to look good for the media and for her father. Making his way back toward the airlock in the bulky hard suit, Jamie passed Ilona. She sat on one of the benches, looking exhausted. She, too, had put on makeup and had even wrapped a bright, flowered scarf around her coverall collar, but she still looked terribly pale and weak. Jamie tried to be cheerful.
Ready to be famous?
She smiled faintly. No amount of makeup could hide the strain in her face, the redness of her eyes. But maybe she could get past the cameras okay. The big story today is supposed to be the discovery of life on Mars, not our physical condition. The two-way transmission lag between Earth and Mars was now more than 25 minutes, so a live give-and-take interview was impossible. Instead, the media reporters and the mission controllers had worked out a different protocol. 12 reporters had been selected from the swarms that had descended on Kaliningrad, Houston, Washington, and other capitals the instant the news of life on Mars had been released. Each of the 12 was in a different location on Earth. Each would ask a question to be answered by one of the Mars explorers. There would be no follow-on questions. Alberto Brumado in Washington would fill in the time between question and answer with commentary and chat among the mission controllers, project administrators, and politicians assembled in Kaliningrad and elsewhere. Many politicians had come to place themselves before the cameras, eager to bask in the glow of the great discovery and allow the world's media to interview them on global TV. Jamie wondered if Edith would be among the questioners. Not likely, he decided. She's just started with a network. She's not high enough on their ladder for this. The two women sat in the cockpit seats, with Jamie and Connors standing behind them. The hour had barely been enough time for Connors to dig out one of the rover's wheels and then drag himself back inside. He had taken off only the top half of his hard suit and stood beside Jamie with his boots still on and his lily-white leggings spattered with red dust that exuded the stinging odor of ozone despite his efforts to vacuum them clean. Voss Nesensky was at the comm screen in the dome, Dr. Lee up in orbit. The people on Earth could speak with any of the units of the Mars expedition that they wished to converse with. Brumado came on the screen before the conference officially began. He congratulated his daughter, and Ioana sent him a loving thank you. Jamie was almost jealous of the warm smile she offered her father. When her message finally reached him, Brumado gave no indication that he was shocked or even worried by his daughter's appearance. She had put up a smiling front without once mentioning their physical condition. He's probably too excited to even notice, Jamie thought. Maybe we're all too worked up about how lousy we feel. If it doesn't show on television, how bad can it really be? The order in which the reporters asked their questions had been picked at random by the Mission Control mainframe computer in Kaliningrad. Everyone thought that was a fittingly scientific way to handle the problem of priority. The reporter selected to be first was Hong Kong's foremost media personality, a strikingly beautiful woman with skin like porcelain and almond eyes that had inspired poetry.
First, I wish to congratulate you on the most significant discovery in the history of the space age, she said in flawless British English. Her voice was a silvery soprano. She almost sang out the words. My question is, which of you actually made the discovery, and how did you feel when you first realized that you had found life on Mars?
Ioana turned doubtfully in the chair toward Ilona, sitting beside her. The face of the Hong Kong woman was replaced with Brumado's, who would fill in the time until their response reached Kaliningrad. The sound volume automatically went down to a barely audible level.
I can answer that, Ilona said, forcing a smile. Dr. Brumado was the first to realize that the forms she was examining in the microscope were alive. She is our biologist, and it is she who actually made the discovery.
Ioana said,
Dr. Malater was with me. We were working together on the samples we had gathered that morning. I merely happened to be the first to examine them in the microscope, but we worked together on the collection and preparation of the samples.
You would have to say that we discovered them together.
Ilona took over again, her husky voice more than an octave lower than Ioana's.
As for how we felt, it was the most exciting moment of my life. Better than sex.
Pale as she was, Ioana flushed.
It was very thrilling, she agreed. I think that at the first moment, neither of us could believe it. Then, when we finally convinced ourselves that it was real, that the specimen in the microscope was actually a life form, we looked at each other and could not say a word.
Which is very unusual for me, Ilona blurted.
We realized that this was one of the most momentous discoveries in the history of science. I felt... what is the word in English? Awed. Yes, that is right. It was an awesome moment. Truly awesome.
I felt like dancing, Ilona said.
Jamie added silently, but you were too tired and weak to try.
We must all remember, Ioana added more seriously, that it was not merely Dr. Malater and I who made this discovery. Dr. Waterman was the one who recognized that this Rift Valley would be the most likely place to find life. The other scientists and astronauts, without them, we could never have reached this place. All the men and women of this great expedition, all the men and women supporting this mission back on Earth, they have each played their role in this discovery. We are a team that reaches across more than 200 million kilometers of space and embraces two worlds. Each of us has played an important part.
Jamie said to himself, she's her father's daughter, all right. There's a future for her in the politics of science. The questions were mainly superficial. Connors was asked by a bored-looking Frenchman how it felt to be the only black man on Mars. The astronaut grinned a one-word answer.
Terrific!
But once the screen showed Brumado talking with one of the opportunistic politicians, Connors muttered, fucking pissant. When Jamie's turn came, he was asked by an American reporter how it felt to be vindicated in his battle to change the mission plan and make the traverse to the Grand Canyon. Wishing that Edith had possessed the clout to make it to the news conference, suddenly lonely for the sight of her blonde, cheerful smile, Jamie replied to the pinch-faced man,
There was never a battle. We had a mission plan, but it had been made up on Earth long before we got here. Fortunately, the mission controllers and the expedition commander, Dr. Lee, as well as cosmonaut Voznesensky and my fellow scientists, all saw the wisdom of altering the plan so we could take advantage of what we found here on the ground. We had the flexibility to change the plan, to take advantage of new discoveries.
Jamie realized that there was another tremendous advantage to being on Mars. The interviewers could not interrupt you, nor could they stop you from going on at length and giving the complete answer that you wanted to give.
Another thing, he said, forgetting his tiredness for a moment, it's more than just simple lichen that we've discovered. Life doesn't exist in one species alone. We know that from Earth. There's got to be a Martian ecology here, a chain of living organisms. Certainly, there must be organisms that are lower down on the chain of life than the lichen we've found. But the interesting question is, are there organisms higher on the chain? Or were there such higher organisms at one time in the past?
He glanced down at Ioana, who was smiling encouragement at him. Connors patted his shoulder.
Here in this Grand Canyon, we discovered a rock formation that might not be natural. It's a long shot, of course, but there may have once been intelligent Martians. We have the opportunity, the responsibility, really, to come back to Mars with expeditions that are equipped to stay for much longer so they can tackle some of these questions.
Jamie enjoyed seeing Brumado's eyes sparkle when his little speech finally reached Earth. The next reporter threw away his prepared question and asked,
You mean that there might have been intelligent creatures on Mars?
His eyes were wide with incredulity.